CliffCentral.com.
Yep, we're still here, we're still live, we're still under lockdown. And all the other stuff is new. Those things are old news. So, good morning, everybody. What's happening? Everybody good? Okay, so we got, let me give you the cast and crew for the morning. We have Mfundo running things in the studio. We have executive producer Sia Sangweni. And we have this morning Pinky Mokemane and also Mbulelo Tinta. So welcome, welcome, welcome. We're here to look after you. We are kindly sort of folks who will do our very best to make you feel better by the end of the show and start your day right. That's what we do.
And we have you, Gareth.
And me, and we'll give you some news. We'll talk to you about what's going on in the world. We've got the burning platform later on. It's very exciting. It is. It's really, this is what we do. This is why we do it. Right, Sia?
Yeah. We have RevX, so we'll learn stuff there as
Excellent.
Well.
Excellent. We can find out about your money or however little you have, what we can do about that.
Who knows what antics at Pussy Tavern, that transpired at Pussy Tavern over the past week.
Well, I thought, we'll start the morning with some gratitude. Because I know Pinky's feeling full of gratitude this week. It was her birthday on Sunday. How was your birthday?
Oh, my goodness, Gareth. I cried the whole 24 hours.
Now, let me just
remind you. Cuddling and cuddling. Ooh.
Normally, people who cry the whole way through their birthday, they're not very happy people, but this is not the case for you.
Oh, I was so happy. Hey, look, I was just so grateful that, during this pandemic, I haven't had really, tough times, And people around me, there's people losing parents, people losing siblings, friends, and I've just been fine. And Flip, I was just really happy that my friends, my family, my colleagues, everyone is still around.
Yeah.
So that really got to me.
I'm pleased you had a good birthday, because it's a shitty thing to have your birthday in the middle of the coronavirus, because nobody makes a fuss. You can't really see your friends. You can't necessarily see family. You can't get to party a little bit. You don't get presents. It's horrible. And especially for kids, I always think, for the kids who are having their birthday under the lockdown, it's horrible, right? It's just boring. And you can't make it special no matter how hard you try, because they're surrounded by the same people they'd be surrounded by the rest of the time.
But why am I really picturing you in just a pool of tears?
That is horrible. Horrible.
And I think every family always has a crier. With my family, there's one of my sisters who we've just written off. We know there'll always be tears somewhere, somehow. And it's just not fun anymore, because in the midst of a great time and we're having fun, and then she'll just break out into tears and she ruins everything. She actually induced her own labor two days earlier than when she was meant to deliver by just crying.
Are you serious?
Crying.
What?
She said she was so overwhelmed by everything going on. And I actually felt guilty, because she and I had a fight that day. And that was one of the things that overwhelmed her. And she just cried and cried. And then later that night, she had to go to hospital. So we thought, whoopsie.
Wow. Don't fight with a pregnant sister is the moral of the story.
Well, just rule out the crier, I think.
We so Sia's the one actually who induced the labor.
That's what I'm saying, is you've actually told the story wrong there. Is I had a fight with my sister, which induced her labor, which means it was my fault, is how you should have framed it.
Yeah, so in other words, you had a direct effect on the child that was born.
Yeah, premature.
You guys are losing the plot here. The plot is rule out the crier in the family. Pinky, you're officially disowned.
Shame, Pinky. I'm sorry. But, you are right. If you haven't had anyone really close to die or, get very, very ill Shame, my sister-in-law's mum died, but not from coronavirus. It was she died, I suppose, also because, it was hard to find her a hospital. They live out in Mpumalanga, and they were driving around trying to find a hospital that would admit her. And then when they eventually did, they thought everything would be okay, and then, she didn't make it. And I think That's the story for a lot of people. And it's very, very sad. And we've all got to be grateful for the little things. So I want to get to a couple of stories that, I mean, yesterday we spoke about a lot of things, all right? So I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole, but there is this from Liesl, Dr. Liesl. She says, after listening this morning, I want to clarify a few things about the Rona. Here she begins her rant, okay, and she calls it a rant. Of all the COVID cases, 80% will have mild or no symptoms. 20% will be symptomatic. Of those 20%, 5% will need hospitalization. 1% will be severe. That's more or less obviously different for different areas or age groups. There are very few other viruses doing the rounds. This is supposed to be the influenza season, but only 0.1% of samples submitted for testing in June were positive for flu. That's interesting. About 15% of samples submitted positive for SARS-CoV-2. That's obviously COVID-19. Once again, June stats. About 15% are positive for the rhinoviruses, which is the normal cold, right?
Rhinovirus?
Yeah, because I was talking about how I was lying in bed and sweating the night before last, and last night I could definitely feel I had a fever and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. She says, your symptoms could have been from COVID, but it could also have been from a normal cold. You wouldn't know without testing. The problem is, with having undiagnosed COVID, you could be in contact with high-risk people who might become severely ill from COVID. So I've decided anyway I'm going to just not expose myself to all those people, just in case, you know. I'm going to take those 10 days in quarantine, because then if I have had it, I'm not going to pass it on. That's the responsible.
And still no testing.
No, I'm not going to test, but that's the responsible thing to do. About hydroxychloroquine, she says, it has not been proven to be effective in the treatment of COVID. I'm hoping that by now you've realized that that brave frontline COVID doctor you spoke about yesterday, the one who was banned all over social media, Stella Emanuel, is not credible. We should get our medical information from randomized placebo-controlled trials published in a peer-reviewed journal. A pastor who says gynecological disease is caused by demon semen. I wonder what Dr. Robin's opinion of her is. Yeah, if you saw that video, and I did, I posted something on my Facebook afterwards, where there was a doctor who said exactly that.
Demon semen, huh?
That's what this woman believes. She's originally from Nigeria, and she was there. It was a political move. Anyway, the thing that I think got a lot of people talking was that she was banned. And this is where these social media networks make a mistake, because instead of leaving that stuff up, they take it down, and then people go, ooh, there is a conspiracy to silence people. So you see, it feeds into the – it actually makes her case more credible, because it looks like there's a worldwide conspiracy to silence her.
In an odd way, yeah.
Yeah, so it actually does the opposite of what it's meant to do. And this is because Facebook and Google and Twitter and all the other places that banned her are run by morons. They really are. They're run by – like university graduates in the humanities who don't know how people think. They haven't spent long enough on Earth. They're all in their early 20s, and they're not necessarily smart enough yet about how to control public messaging. So by banning this woman and banning her videos, what they've done is they've increased demand, and they've made it seem obvious to everybody that there's something going on that we shouldn't know. You know, the minute you hide stuff from people, guess what? The conspiracy theories crop up, right? Anyway, mm-hmm. So I totally agree with Liesl on all of this, obviously, because I'm not a doctor. But also, she says, at this stage, we don't have serological testing available in South Africa. So for now, you can't find out if you had COVID already, unless you enroll for the vaccine trial. End of rant.
Sorry, what does serological testing mean?
Whether or not you've got antibodies.
Yeah.
Okay, I will Google that later.
Okay, good for you.
You're not going to be using that in common conversations here, like all the other words you use.
You know, with Mbulelo, I might have to. If on a day I want to impress him. Yeah, so Mbulelo, so about the serological cereal I had this morning.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I just
wouldn't think, make sense, but I'm trying.
You're putting it out there. It's very brave. You're very brave in 2020. I love the fact that demon semen is something that somebody can say in public and still keep their doctorate.
Absolutely.
I think we should be more open-minded. Yeah, I like that. I like that she's willing to pick that up.
Priests have been saying this for years. You know, we blame
demon semen. I haven't heard that term.
Demons, yes. I doubt there's a priest who's been talking about demon semen.
Oh, there are lots. See, Oh, what are you? What rock are you living under? A lot of them who have. Anyway, I just thought that I'd get straight to Dr. Liesl's email, since this time yesterday I was talking about how I thought I might have had the Rona. And I might, who knows? So just for safety's sake, I'm going to stay away from people who are vulnerable.
So, you know, the lack of your reason for not testing makes me think of a friend of mine who, she's impossible to break up with in a relationship. So her tactic is, when she can see things are going wrong, she just doesn't take bad news well. So she avoids the guy, and eventually their relationship just keeps going. You're resembling her in that sense. Like, you just don't want to hear the bad news.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about the bad. If I'm suffering from this disease, then the worst is the suffering from it, not the news that you have it.
Oh, I thought you might not go to your parents.
No. The fact is, I'm not going to go and test because I don't think it's necessary. If I've got it, I'm not going to die from it, so I don't need to go and involve the medical community. And I don't need to go for tests. It's not all about me. As long as I stay away from other people, then I'm doing the responsible thing. And as soon as I'm through this, then I can carry on with my life.
Sounds very rational.
Yeah, it's totally rational. I don't know why Mbulelo is comparing me to his fucking weird exes.
She wasn't my ex, but I like that.
Who's on the other side of rational? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, well, if they dated Bulelo, yes.
So, all right, let's just, it is.
You mentioned when I played The Killers at the start of the show that you had a story about this song.
So it was 2009, and I was at the O2 Arena
in London.
Back then, yeah, in London, and I was about the good times back then. I ended up falling asleep behind a speaker this is like at the peak of the concert, by the way. The next morning, I get woken up by, because they came back the next morning to come in clean.
What a derelict you must have been.
The whole,
oh my God.
Did you fall asleep or did you black out?
A healthy combination of the two. But
behind a speaker is a very noisy place to fall asleep.
Listen, I was drunk by like 3 o'clock, right? This was like 10 o'clock and I was drinking in the arena. But here's the best part is, because the police kind of do health and safety the next day, it was winter and I was wearing like shorts and a t-shirt in the UK, by the way.
You must have got so sick.
Oh, I was so cold. I was so cold.
But it's after, you know how your mother always tells you, don't go outside when it's cold, you know, when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't go outside when it's cold because you'll catch a cold, you'll get sick. That is the... Look, it's a bit of an old wives' tale, because that's not why you get sick. But if you put yourself in the position that you were in, you must have been, for the 4 days after that, you must have felt like absolute shit.
I actually can't remember. The worst moment was being stuck in the back of a SUV, or what do you call those, Vitos? I don't know how you call those things.
Yes.
Put me in the police car for a while.
Oh, they actually arrested you?
No. Luckily, I didn't get arrested. That would have been a real problem. But yeah, they just let me go eventually. But I was so cold. I had no jersey in that car, and they left me alone in there for hours because they went and cleaned up the place, health and safety. What a nightmare, by the way. No cell phone. That was one of the worst days of my life.
What a night.
And where were your friends, Mbulelo?
Oh, they'd gone home. I mean, what do you do in the middle of a concert if you can't find somebody and he's behind? I mean, you know these speakers at massive concerts? They are huge. It's like the size of a small room.
Right. Jesus.
No, but those are real friends.
I don't look for you, hey?
It's like an unwritten rule. You never leave a man behind.
Where there's 10,000 people, you're going to look for me in freezing winter? No,
definitely.
I definitely don't blame them.
Nobody's leaving up until we find you.
Maybe call it selfish on our part, but our group of friends actually reprimanded one of our friends for leaving me.
Really?
At a party once. Then there were like four of us in total. And this one was like, deuces, I'm gone, because I had gone on my own little adventure somewhere with some, anyway. And she was like, you know, it was at a music festival. She says, look, the lights are coming back on. I'm tired. I'm leaving. And they're like, you just don't leave someone behind. You never know. We all arrive together. We should all leave together. And I think even if it wasn't me who was missing, in inverted commas, I would have also stayed. I don't think you ever leave a person behind.
I don't play that nonsense. If you're old enough to get drunk, you must be old enough to put up the consequences. I've never played that nonsense. If you, yeah, you know, there's a great saying.
This is a trauma talking.
You must all.
Exactly. That's trauma.
I was not.
Yes,
I was,
Dr. Pinky.
It's the trauma. I wasn't angry with my friends. It was like, who do you think you are getting that hammered? And then it must be other people's problems. Because there's an after party after these types of things.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
No, no, no. Don't ruin people's night.
Yeah, yeah. That's irresponsible of you, not them. It's got nothing to do with them. Yeah, yeah.
And I think at a concert with so many people, no one even cared to just check if you're breathing.
No, they couldn't. See, nobody found me till the next day. They cleaned up the entire concert afterwards.
So they picked up the speaker you were sleeping behind.
No, no, no. This is what I'm saying. This was the next morning, by the way. Mm. So the whole night, they cleaned up the arena. This is how big this speaker was. Is that they cleaned up the whole arena afterwards. They rigged the lights got turned. The next day, when they're coming to now pack everything up, is when the police find this delinquent behind the speaker.
Imagine.
This was wild. Yeah, yeah. And it was freezing. If you haven't been to the UK in February, it is, or January or February, it was unbelievably cold. And I was sleeping on a concrete floor. It was.
And then, you're waking up trying to reassure the police. No, no, no. Actually, you know, I studied chemistry.
No, I didn't have a degree then.
Ah, I'll see what. How do you justify your existence?
What a disgraceful person.
It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare.
And then heaven forbid if something had happened to you, what do your friends tell your parents? Oh, sorry, I don't know. We were told by cops he was found behind a speaker. Ooh,
what listen, that, in fact, the getting caught by cops wasn't the worst part. Having to deal with my mother the next day after she realized how much I'd spent on her card. Like I'm telling you, I was out on the town from like midday in London. And anyone who goes to London, you know what it costs to have a decent time.
You strike me as a reformed Paris Hilton.
Yeah, you were on a bad track, man. You were heading for disaster. How did you pull yourself out of it?
At some stage.
You didn't find Jesus. That's what a lot of people would say.
Jesus didn't find me. I was the lost one. Jesus wasn't lost. I was lost. He's supposed to find me. But no, you know, there came a stage in life when it's like, what more can I do? In the name of hedonism, what more was I capable of? I've now cheesed my parents off to the limit, shamed them to the limit.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, at this stage, now, come on. And I come from, in my opinion, a very, very ethical, good home. Eventually, you know, you're a creature of where you were raised. And I was like, okay.
How old were you when you had that realization?
27.
What a wasted 27 years.
Well said. You could have been part of the 27 club if you wasn't
careful.
I think actually a little bit of hedonism is absolutely required. I mean, we were talking about the Amish the other day, right? Mm. And even they have like a gap year where they go and misbehave. I think it's really important that everybody discovers the limits of their hedonism. And the earlier you do it in life, the better. As long as you can escape from it. As long as it doesn't pull you in. Because if you don't do it at all, I'm telling you now, it comes back to haunt you. One day, you're a father of three, you're married, you're in your 40s, and suddenly the bug bites. And then your poor wife and children are stuck with this reprobate.
Pinky, did you think about your life there for a second?
I had to think back.
Yeah, because Pinky's a good, really good human being. Like, she wouldn't do these bulelo things. I don't think, you came out of varsity and you came to work for us, right?
Yeah, I did that. No, I went to go work at Vitz Law Clinic, and then I came to Cliff Central.
And varsity, you were never badly behaved. You were never like the girl who got completely drunk and like, passed out behind a speaker like in Bulelo.
Not passing behind speakers.
But you did. You did go to Pussy's Tavern, and it was your mother's tavern, so you.
Exactly. So I grew up in that environment. I saw a lot of Mbulelos when I was growing up. So,
That, by the way, that's one of the reasons she can handle Mbulelo so well in the office.
Exactly.
But I do want to point out something while we were, just glossing over the Roro stuff earlier, and we'll get to the headlines in a minute, but You know, police are investigating the violation of lockdown by mourners at the home of Andrew Mlangeni. And police say they've received calls to arrest mourners who contravened lockdown regulations. Among the mourners are senior government officials. Let's see what happens here. I'm willing to place a bet. Are you? Who actually thinks that they're going to arrest any senior government officials?
Well, have you spoken about the Mandela funeral yet, or is that something people are avoiding talking about?
No, actually, we must talk about that because there was a video going around that was not of Zinzi's funeral, that people thought was of Zinzi's funeral, and we actually mentioned it on the TV show, and it turned out that that was not her funeral. In fact, I know that from a very good source inside the family. So, you know, fake news. But with this one... With this one, you could tell because there were flags and there was, it's in Soweto and you could see and there was government officials there and, you know, there were people in military garb and Mkhonto wa Sizwe stuff. And here's a report from Vish Naidu, who's, of course, the police spokesperson. Listen to this.
Numerous people have been making calls via various media platforms that mourners who visited the house of the late struggle stalwart, Mr. Andrew Mlangeni, yesterday, be arrested. The regulations in terms of the Disaster Management Act 57 of 2002 makes provision for the dispersing of crowds who gather illegally, and it also makes provision to hold accountable a person or persons who convenes or organizes illegal gatherings. Therefore, with regards to this matter in question, a case of contravention of Section 48(1)(a) of the Disaster Management Act 57 of 2002 will be open for investigation. On completion of this investigation, the docket will be submitted to the Director for Public Prosecution for a decision.
So in other words, he's saying, Vish Naidu from the police, he's saying there could be, if the prosecution office decides to do, some arrests made. Wouldn't that be funny if, like, Fikile Mbalula gets taken away in handcuffs for all that he's tried to do for all those poor, vulnerable people in taxis?
No.
Speaking of that, just quickly, because I'm actually recording an interview today with Andile Ramaphosa and Brad Fisher, who are in business together. They've come up with ways of making taxis safer. So I'm going to ask them about this. And we were speaking about Andile just the other day. He's the president's son, obviously. But this is his business. We're going to find out where that money came from. But we're also going to ask him whether this stuff works and whether he agrees with Fikile's numbers. And we'll talk very openly about this. So if you have any comments or questions, you can obviously send those to us too. 0797482090. You were going to say, Mbulelo?
I was going to say, this could be the way we bring Fikile down. You know how they bring down these corrupt people in corporate, like when you're a deviant in the corporate world, is we don't catch you on the fraud. We catch you on a smaller nyana thing, and then we bring you in. So we could catch Fikile for transgressing this, and then, oh yeah, you remember that 300 billion you've stolen over the last 6 years with your cadres?
Yeah.
How about we chat about that while we're at this?
And well, then, that's how they got Al Capone, right?
That's what I mean, yeah.
It was a small tax violation.
This is how you get them. This is how you get them. The Rona will get you either way.
Maybe.
It'll get you.
Okay. Well, I thought I'd throw that in there. We've got lots to talk about this morning. You can get hold of us, as I said, on 0797482090. Let's take a look at some headlines for the morning. First of all, from EWN this morning, Minister Natin Hleko says, "I always acted in the interests of the public as police minister." That was at the commission, the State Capture Commission. He told them he was surprised it hasn't asked people, including Robert McBride, who claim he captured the security and justice cluster, to provide evidence. So Natin Hleko has concluded his testimony. By the way, he looks like he's been eating nonstop since he stepped down as minister. Sweet Jesus, is he a fat bastard.
And this is what I've realized about these commissions. The tactic to use when it's your time to testify is to explain your innocence and then name someone else and throw them under the bus, because it's never you, it's someone else.
Yeah, you couldn't possibly be guilty of any of that stuff.
I've seen it so many times now. It's always someone who looks solemn sitting there. They plead their case, they defend themselves, they're oh so innocent, but actually so-and-so.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, right, is in their heads. And this is unfortunately, we're living in a world now where we can't really distinguish fact from feeling. And lots of people operate purely on the feeling side. And lots of people operate, well, not lots, unfortunately, but a few people operate on the fact side. I know this drives Mbulelo crazy. But you've got Nathi Nhleko who's saying, oh, but Robert McBride's brought no evidence. But you've brought no evidence that you're innocent either. All you're doing is telling us a story. And that's why these commissions of inquiry are actually, in my opinion, a waste of time. I mean, Pinky, they don't bring evidence. It's just everybody unload, and then this poor judge, Zondo, he has to work out like what the most likely story is. But actually, it should be more adversarial and interrogative. You know, you should be able to interrupt people, say, prove it. They must bring documentary evidence. Surely, I mean, these are government officials. All of this stuff is recorded. Cabinet meetings are minuted. We should know what happened. It shouldn't be in the haze and in the mystery of things in the past. This is not a history class from 1430 where there's scant evidence. We should know what was going on there.
We know what's going on there. Come on.
Yeah, crooking and stealing.
Yeah. I'd like to know from Pinky is, do you think the legal system needs to catch up with the real world today? Because you can just, I mean, these guys have enough of the taxpayers' money to delay and delay and do their thing until it's 2023.
Look, the law is there, but it's not being properly implemented. So it's practically useless.
And what's getting in the way of it being properly implemented is
what's interesting to me. Or the people that are supposed to be implementing it are just not.
Captured.
It's really a waste of time.
Yes.
Honestly, I don't have any faith in our justice system, hey? To a point where even when people ask me for advice for anything that's like criminally related or of the sort, and they consider mob justice or something similar, I don't say no. I'm not there. Like, no, don't do it. Go to the police or what? Because I have zero faith in the justice system.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a lawyer thing.
That's a scary thing when the lawyers... I mean, you're an officer of the court, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. See? This is bad. Nhleko spent the past 3 days answering questions about his fallout with IPID on the Zimbabwe renditions and why he decided to hire law firm Werksmans to investigate IPID when he found that there were two reports on the matter. The one report recommended Hawks boss Anwar Dramat and Shadrach Sibiya be charged, and the other exonerated them. I mean, do me a favor. What a lot of crap. What a lot of crap. I feel so sorry for Judge Zondo. Imagine having to listen to this shit day after day after day. This man has worked his whole life in the law. He became a judge. He became Deputy Chief Justice. Now he has to listen to this nonsense.
At this point, I think he has the tiniest pods in his ears.
Yeah, he's listening to music.
He is. Yo.
Are we human?
Yes.
Are we dancer?
All right. He's not nodding to the testimonies. He's nodding away to the music.
Speaking of the state capture inquiry, the second story in the news this morning, evidence gathered by the State Capture Commission will now be available for use by law enforcement after President Cyril Ramaphosa amended their regulations. So this could be a move in the right direction. You know, I'm always happy to give credit where due, and I'd love to see more action from government. So maybe this is one of the things we can get excited about. The National Prosecuting Authority has welcomed news of the amendment. I think it's a huge boost to our efforts to move forward on significant prosecutions. So we're very excited by the amendment coming through. That's from the NPA Investigative Directorate head, Hermione Cronier. Cronier asserted that the NPA had been working on the cases and the amendment will allow the NPA to access staff who are familiar with the cases and assist the progression of prosecutions. So, if that's true, and if they actually start prosecuting some of these people, scratch my comments on the waste of time that the State Capture Commission of Inquiry is. Just scratch them. My lord, you can just strike that. Right? Is that correct language, Pinky?
You are right on track, Gary. Right.
Strike that from the record.
Yeah. Strike that and let's start again. I would love to see this happen, so I'm not going to hold my breath because I will die. But let's hope this is something good. And then ENCA reporting, the first of Eskom's tariff increases should take place from April next year if everything goes according to plan. Oh, that's great. This is where they get to increase. You got to love this, right? They are hiking the tariffs on electricity and they can't provide electricity. Anyway, General Manager of Regulations at Eskom said the first incremental tax, tariff, tariff increases will take place from the 1st of April 2021. Eskom is now allowed to recover the funds over a three-year period. This could mean an increase of even up to 10%. The utility welcomed the ruling, says it will assist in becoming financially stable, but NERSA has expressed concerns, saying the judgment, if unchallenged, will suppress economic activity. Oh, you don't say, because people can't afford electricity as it is at the moment? Anyway, well, that's another one to not hold your breath on, okay? Because you'll definitely, that's going to hit you hard. And then, apparently, a crime intelligence-led operation investigating the kidnapping of a 72-year-old man uncovered evidence that could link the crime to a terrorist cell. This man was kidnapped outside his business on the 2nd of July, and a video ransom demand was sent to his family. People are doing everything they can to get some money. In the video, the man is held at gunpoint, bound and naked. He pleads with the viewer to pay him 3 million rand in ransom in Bitcoin or he will be killed. Last week, the police raided a small holding in the Vaal and arrested five suspects in connection with the kidnapping. Law enforcement also confiscated numerous weapons, training manuals, and an ISIS flag during the raid. The five men were charged with kidnapping and firearm-related charges. One suspect is still at large. The police are attempting to locate the owner of the property. The police have not yet added terror-related charges to the charge sheet and are investigating the suspect's connection with other incidences of kidnapping and ransom. Ooh, ISIS.
Yes.
Doing what ISIS, the Vaal, doing what ISIS do. That's how they get money, is they kidnap people and extort their families.
It's terrible. How am I going to go wakeboarding now? I don't want to get beheaded.
I know. Seven babies were stillborn in one night in a major Zimbabwean hospital this week because their mothers did not get adequate medical care due to the nurses' strike. Horrendous. I'm sorry, but we should not allow people in public service, you shouldn't be allowed to unionize and strike. I'm sorry. There should be other ways. We must build other ways into the system for people to do this because it costs lives. If your police strike, if your teachers strike, and if your nurses strike and doctors, you obviously end up with major social effects. And these effects are never good.
So, but now when you've got mamparas in charge who don't pay the people, how do you... Should we have them in sheltered employment? Are they the ones... Because I know you're anti-sheltered employment. What do you do when you've got the comrades in charge and people don't get paid?
Well, you know...
You're a nurse.
Then honestly, you need to weigh up whether it's worth going into the public service or not. You need to think about maybe going into private service. Because in the public service, there's an element of it that focuses on that second word, service. And if you're in the police... Your own salary demands of 5 or 6 or 7% have to come after keeping the country safe. Now, our police can't do that. So why should they get an increase? And in our country, do you know that public service wage, the wage bill is huge, right? But it's gone up, essentially over the last 10 years, it's gone up 40%. This is unbelievable. 40% over 10 years. Now, I've never, ever been in a job where they gave me more than 6%. And now that I pay myself, I obviously don't even get that. But it seems to me like there's this automatic thing that kicks in when you're in the public. And the public service is definitely not as good as the private service, right? So if you go to a public hospital, you're in big trouble. Go to a private hospital, usually you're better off. It's very scary. Anyway, nurses in Zimbabwe went on a countrywide strike last month demanding US dollar salaries, which government says it cannot afford. But this is what you get for working for the ZANU-PF government. I'm terribly sorry. And if you work for the ANC government in this country, your days are numbered. You know how we were talking about temporary money the other day?
Yeah.
We were talking about temporary money because you're earning money now or you get a nice tender now or something, but that money never lasts and it's not sustainable and you didn't earn it and then it goes away and you have no one to complain to.
So my thing will always be is not every nurse can work at Sunny Hill Clinic. There just isn't enough. My problem is this, is we are harder. I've said this before. We are harder on the working class. So in this case, our nurses and doctors and police than we are on the cadres. I don't understand why there's a reason why these people are crying. Up top, you getting 2 million. That's been eroding the system for 30 years. The proverbial, and I need to be clear, proverbial guillotines now need to come out, Gareth. These people aren't asking for 50 grand a month. They're asking for living wage. Really, the people up top, guys, let's, I'm sorry, I can't put it on the nurses.
Preach.
These mothers at the top, I can't anymore, man.
All right, well, thank God you're not in Zimbabwe and you don't work in medicine. That's all I can say. But then, if you were working for the ZANU-PF government in Zimbabwe and you're suddenly so disappointed by what's happening, you haven't been paying attention. I mean, really, did you think that they'd get their shit together? What, this year, suddenly?
Also a good point.
Really. We spoke about how Sia is owed money by a friend of his yesterday. Mm. And this is a problem Pinky has as well. It seems you guys are lending money to derelicts. Why? Why is this happening?
You know what, Gareth? I'm actually so pissed, eh? Because it went as far as even on my birthday, she didn't make contact. And I think it is because she owes me money.
How much? What's the quantum here?
It's 2,000 Rand.
It's
a lot of money. Same. 2,000 Rand.
Same.
And
I'm not going to loan, I'm not going to a loan shark ever again. I'm coming to you and Sia.
No, never mind.
The Sia and Pinky Mashonisas.
Oh. No, the hit's closed for business now.
Oh man,
this was a friend, ne Pinky?
This, yeah, definitely was a friend. Now,
oh, operative
that
term.
Friendship is not going anywhere.
How long
so
has
it
been?
So at this point, look, I don't know what to do. I was thinking, should I go the legal route just to teach them a lesson? Or should I get people to beat them up?
Okay, but hang on. No, you're not joking, because I know where you come from. And then the phrase starts, that's what you do. So hang on, what is... To recover 2,000 Rand in legal terms, how many options are there available to you? This is actually useful for Sia as well, so take notes, Sia.
A small claims court. But then again, the process, hey? It's going to take up your time. You're going to spend much more than the 2K. Trying to get it back. So but again, it's not really worth it.
It depends now on how much you hate this person.
Yeah.
There it is.
So if I just want to prove a point, you know, teach her a lesson and then make it public, like post everything on social media. Yes. Like I'm on my way now to do this because who doesn't want to pay me?
Mm.
And to make it worse, they're posting videos and pictures of themselves shopping.
No.
Oh,
that's awesome.
I would just publicly shame them. That doesn't cost anything.
That is awesome.
I'll say what you're thinking, Pinky. That bitch.
Okay, I'll tell you what. You put some social media post together. I'll share it with all of my followers. I'll say this bitch, dot, dot, dot. How about that?
Wow.
I've never used social media for evil. It's about time, don't you think?
It is.
No.
And Gareth, this is actually for good. It's not even evil. It's for good.
Well, we're defaming a person.
Hopefully it will make
other
people out there start paying their debts, you know?
No, actually, hang on. We're not defaming a person. I'm going to correct myself because this person owes you money.
Mm.
That's a fact, established fact.
Oh. And it's now 7 months because they got the money on the 1st of Jan.
Unacceptable.
Where do they live?
In Bloem.
No.
That's a problem. You live in Joburg. So have you seen them? Or did you see them in your birthday times? Or it was one of those things where she was avoiding you like...
Since the date, I think she's been avoiding me.
Wow.
Well, while we're talking about finances and we're talking about money, it's appropriate that Sean Sanders joins us this morning. You've met Sean before if you've listened to the show. He is from Revix. He's the co-founder of Revix. And hey, Sanders, how are you, dude?
Morning, Gareth. Yeah, very good, thanks. How are you doing?
Great. And you must be very happy because I've noticed a couple of things in the last few days. Sorry that every time I start talking to you, it's always about prices. But you got to admit, it's not a bad time to be you because of the various assets that you guys trade in. I saw Ethereum has had a really good week. I saw Bitcoin's doing great. I saw Gold is doing great. I mean, really, it's, I mean, don't tell me I'm talking nonsense. This is a good time.
Yeah, we've got, I mean, call it luck, call it some magical power, some crystal ball.
Yeah.
But all the products on our platform seem to be the top performers of the last 1, 3, and 5 years. So, I mean, gold's been on this ridiculous run. I mean, every week, and I said this last week, and I think maybe last week it started out going every single week we get on this podcast and we talk about how gold's just hit a new all-time high, and or a new 7-year high, 8-year high, and now it's at an all-time high. I mean, it's remarkable.
So let's just look at the numbers while we're on this, because I want to see how much crypto bundles are up. I want to talk about those prices and why they're going higher. But let's give everybody the background in case this is the first time that they've met you on the show. Sean and his business Revix is an intelligent investment platform that allows anybody anywhere to build a diversified portfolio or bundle of assets in just a few clicks. And I know that there are lots of businesses that promise you this, but this is a legitimate one. It's great. I trade with them. I can vouch for them. And I'll tell you something. They really know their stuff, which is why we keep talking to Sean, because he's the only person at the moment who's giving us any kind of update on what the macro picture is, and then also what the picture is regarding those products which he particularly sells. But go and try it, because you can do it for as little as 500 Rand. And, I mean, what do you got to lose? You got to lose 500 Rand, but you can ride a wave that will put some of your money in a place that you haven't thought of putting it yet, and that could end up being a really good decision in the long term. So give me the numbers. How are crypto bundles doing?
So this has been a phenomenal year. I mean, Bitcoin's up about 75% at this very moment in time. Our payment bundle, which has our payment-focused cryptocurrencies, are up around 80%.
Is that from the start of the year?
That's from the start of the year. Our top 10 bundle is up 85%, sure. And our smart contract bundle is up 105%, and that's mainly driven by Ethereum. So it has been a very good year to date. And I mean, this already just started last week, where Bitcoin broke through the psychological level of $10,000, and it's moved up to now about $11,200, and it seems to be bouncing around at that point in time. And what's driving this growth in the crypto space? I mean, it's always quite difficult to say, but what we saw last week is a new 2-year record high in terms of active Bitcoin addresses. So these are addresses where you've got active amounts being moved in and out over a set three-month period. And yeah, I guess transaction fees have come down as well. So that's another big move, because you've got $2 as the average transaction fee on the Bitcoin network, which is substantially lower than 2017 and 18. And that means that at least the network's developing and you actually are getting these scaling factors coming in. So the crypto market's in a very good position. And I mean, if you look at gold as well, gold's up now in Rand terms over 35% over the last 6 months, which is quite remarkable. I mean, wow. Outperforming stock markets and all the rest.
That's phenomenal. I'm really blown away by all of this. But the reality is that there are people who are already starting to say, some of them might know what they're talking about, but I suspect possibly not, oh, but it's all just going to come crashing down, because we've seen this before, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not a snake oil salesman. Like, this is a live, breathing, dynamic market. Mm-hmm. This can easily come back 10%. It can easily come back 20%. And that's why we say, you know, don't go and invest a ridiculously large amount. Rather, dollar cost average into the market. Invest regularly. Don't invest more than you can afford to lose. Invest 500 Rand to get started with us. I mean, there's no monthly fees. We have a simple fee structure. It's a 1% buy fee and a 1% sell fee. And no monthly fees. And then, you know, you can kind of test out the platform. And I think that's an important thing to do. You need to be able to test out the market, feel comfortable with the space, because it is a really volatile space. I mean, just like it can pull back 10 or 20%, it can also increase 10, 20, 50%. And our approach at Revix is really to say, take in the crypto market at least, and I mean, it's pretty much the same across all other investments, but take a 2, 5, or 10-year horizon and make that kind of your goalpost. And over that period of time, you could see this crypto market go from being a $180 billion market or $250 billion market to something that's maybe $1.5 trillion. I mean, that was kind of the peak that it reached in late 2017. And then you're looking at, you know, 5 or 10 times return. And that's really the opportunity here. It's not the day-to-day moves or the week-to-week moves. The real opportunity is this asset class actually maturing, because it is a once-in-a-lifetime sort of opportunity where you see an asset class come out of absolutely nowhere. And that's what we've seen with cryptocurrencies.
But we have spoken about this before. You're actually bargaining on this stuff becoming a new way of people trading, and in the case of Ethereum, as the basis for a number of new applications. And therefore, you don't think that we're going to suddenly see this thing drop out at like 70% or anything like that?
No, the market will go up 20%, it'll come down 20% from where it is. That's just this game, right? And I think people need to be very comfortable with that, because some people come along, they invest with us, they see a quick 25 or 30%, I mean, hold over the last while, 50%+ return, and they want to withdraw their funds. And we're saying, listen, like, that is fine. If you want to withdraw your funds, you don't have any lockup period or anything like that, go ahead and do so. But think about the long term, because if you had to join the platform and the market had to drop by 20 or 50%, you still, and you withdrew your funds, you'd miss out on these sort of gains. Right. So looking out over the next 5 or 10 years, you've got to look at the different applications that are being developed on blockchains. And I mean, we've spoken about some of these before, but file storage on a peer-to-peer kind of basis, I mean, that's really exciting. And the ability to have peer-to-peer loans or peer-to-peer insurance, these are all sort of the opportunities that are emerging in the decentralized finance space. And a lot of people don't see this because, I mean, everyone's got normal day-to-day jobs. They're not kind of in the nitty-gritty of this development space. But, I mean, we're meeting developers on a daily basis that are building these sort of applications. And it's absolutely remarkable. And the amount of interesting things going on underneath the hood, and especially on the Ethereum network, is just remarkable.
Well, I mean, this is where I've got to ask you, because we brought it up at the beginning of this conversation. The dangerous people, the fly-by-nights, these scammers, there are a lot of these going on, and there are dangerous people who are taking people's money, and you just never hear from them again. And they do this with Bitcoin. They do it with lots of other crypto. Now, what advice do you have for people who are newcomers and are nervous?
So, I mean, look, I've come on your show, and you've spoken about how this crypto market can actually pull back. I mean, prices are not guaranteed. The market's volatile. These are things you have to understand, not just in cryptocurrency, if you're investing in stocks or bonds or property or you name it, right? Yeah. That is the most transparent way that we want to engage with our customers.
Right.
If any crypto project or fund is guaranteeing a return, whether that's 5% or 50%, please just ignore them. That's the best advice I can really give someone.
It's
there's
like,
no
it's
guarantee.
Like that, that friend of yours who's suddenly become a trader and says to you, oh, just give me 10 grand of your money and I guarantee you we'll do returns of this and that. Bullshit.
Yeah, no, not on a consistent basis. I mean, maybe they'll make a return when they get started, but hey, over the long term, there's no guaranteed returns. Certainly not a 5 or 50% in this environment.
All right. Well,
the other thing is starting small. So as we said earlier, you know, invest a small amount into the platform, into the project, withdraw that amount, and I'm talking like the absolute bare minimum amount, make sure that they're a legitimate platform.
Right.
And then do your research. I mean, you can look for company directors, company CEOs. If they're not on LinkedIn and they're in the investment space, like, don't trust them. Please don't. You can look.
You know, you have to do a bit of the work yourself, right? You can't just accept everything on the face of it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, a lot of people have spoken about carrot bars. I mean, we probably get a message every second day or so asking about carrot bars and can they transfer their carrot bars to Revix. And, you know, we unfortunately have to turn around to hundreds of people, really, and to say, like, listen, sorry, it seems like your money's been taken. And there are a lot of crypto scams, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people are in a desperate position at the moment. And this company from Seychelles, Bermuda, Guernsey, Isle of Man, they message you and say, hey, listen, you've got a 50% return guaranteed month on month. You know, if you invest only 20,000 rand or something and you're going, well, hold, I've just been laid off, I'm unemployed, this seems like a great opportunity, I can make up like 5% of my income, blah, 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 and then you don't get your money back. And unfortunately, it's so sad when you see people that have just lost this huge sum of money and they've just, their blood is just drained from their face. So
it's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've got to do your own research, test the company out. You've got to message the company, engage with the company, look for the founders, look for the, you know, chat to the support team, see the way that they respond to you. That's all really important when you're dealing with any company in the investment space, not just even in the crypto space.
Absolutely. All right, Sean, well, we're going to try this out if we haven't already, because all you have to do is go and sign up. That's for free. You can verify your ID, add funds, and select a bundle of your choice. And for more information, you can head over to revix.com. That's R-E-V-I-X.com. It is the smart way to invest in crypto. Don't get to the end of this year and go, oh, I wish I'd put 500 Rand in April. Now it's almost August. You can afford to be cautious. You can afford to be careful, as we've discussed already through the course of this morning's conversation. But you should probably consider this as one of the options if you have any money to keep at least some of it in a different place to where all your others, all your other money is rands. I mean, God knows that's not the best idea in the world. And then, really, speak to Sean and his team, and you can find out everything you need to know by going to revix.com. That's R-E-V-I-X.com, the smart way to invest in crypto. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks, team. Have a good week.
Sean, I just wanted to say the crypto space has become so great. We had a headline just now where even the terrorists are asking for the ransom in Bitcoin. Crypto in Bitcoin. So we really are. This thing's taken over.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. But when they ask for a ransom in Bitcoin, you can trace it, right? So yeah. That's the funniest thing. You can trace it. You're like, why don't you just ask for rands or like dollars or something like normal? But anyway, I mean, it is exciting to see where the space is going. And I think, Gareth, just to your point before I run, the space is growing and it's changing and there's so much going on underneath the hood. I mean, there's property tokens being launched now, just very similar to our Pax Gold token that is, you know, backed by gold. There is properties around South Africa, actually, at this point in time, that are being put as a tokenized investment option onto the Ethereum blockchain and onto the EOS blockchain and whatnot. Oh, wow. And over the next few years, you're going to see the emergence of all these interesting peer-to-peer tradable different assets. And it's so exciting to see. And a lot of people come around to us and they go like, hey, I missed this out. You know, I missed out on this. I saw Bitcoin hit, I don't know, 200,000 Rand a few years ago. And like, hell, I've missed this boat. And I'm just going, you know, that's exactly what I was saying 4 years ago. And what other people told me they felt in 2012. So, you know, take a long-term approach on this. That's our advice.
Absolutely. All right. You can find out all you need to know at revix.com. Thank you, Sean. Sean Sanders.
Sure, guys. Thank you.
All right. And as he says, you got to do your own research, man. Do it for you.
REVIX.com. Find out what it means to me. REX.
Well, I'm still working on that theme song.
That needs a lot of work.
My God. Yeah.
This was actually the first time I
did a Franklin just turned in her grave.
What did you say?
This was the first time that I think Aretha Franklin had his video off whenever I'm on.
Oh, yeah.
And my concentration levels today were on 100%.
Yes.
Sean
has done, he's not going to say this, so I'll say it. Sean has done some quite big deal modeling in his time.
No hating. He's a handsome son of my
Google Revix.
Pinky's gonna go buy a whole bunch of
definitely
sold. Yeah, no, Sean's done he's done some interesting stuff in his life. men's health covers. Oh yeah.
Peggy, could you please wipe the saliva that's just
dripping
off your skin right now?
I didn't read that. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, get a glass of water. You're so thirsty.
When Pinky puts saliva on the paper.
Saliva on Sean.
I wear that. That's sexual harassment.
All right.
What the hashtag has been going on here?
All right. When we come back, the burning platform featuring Canthan Pele, who you know by now, as well as you can know anybody, and we'll speak to him about all the things that are going on in politics, in society, in the economy, and more. You can join the conversation by getting on board 079-748-2090. Let us know what you're up to this morning, and we will take your calls, your thoughts, your ideas, your messages. You know what to do. Get hold of us ASAP. And we'll also be speaking to Canthan about all the things that are going on in the news, obviously. And Greg Arday is here to help us with that. He's keeping an eye on local politics. And we're going to find a few stories that expose the deadly nexus of politics, crime, and the taxi industry. And Greg has written an incredible book called War Party, How the ANC's Political Killings Are Breaking South Africa. So I'm really excited to have him on as well. Very exciting stuff. He's the former deputy editor of the Sunday Tribune and KwaZulu-Natal bureau chief for the Sunday Times. So he's got some very interesting stuff to tell us. We'll get to all of that in the next hour on cliffcentral.com. And thank you, Pinky, for joining us. Thank you, Mbulelo. We will catch you guys next week. Are you ready to get stuck into the burning platform? I thought so. That's what we're going to do. Cliffcentral.com.